Well, hi there and welcome. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. What everyone is talking about, that plays at the start of every program. And what we do on this show is we put a topic out there for you, the Take Two family, to run with your lived experiences, your insights, your wisdom, your thoughts. We learn from you, you edify, you inspire. And today, what everybody's talking about, or most everybody anyway, is another mass shooting in Texas, just one of many in the last couple of weeks. There are many more that go unreported by the media. And so we had a topic scheduled for today. We have moved it down later into the month of June because, Debbie, we want to take a look with our listeners' help at kind of why we think these things are happening, what we might be able to do to prevent them in the future, and just what is going on, right?
The Uvalde school shooting, 19 children dead, two adults, several in the hospitals, fighting for their life. It's a lot to take in. This is a small town just west of San Antonio, about 16,000 residents, and it really has shook them to the core. It's really rocked their world, and it's really destroyed their lives. These little fourth graders went off to school and did not come home. And it's really a tragic situation. And there's a lot of moving parts that are still, you know, being explored and things that are happening. But we want to talk about it from a spiritual perspective. We want to really tackle this on how we can, you know, prevent this in the future, how we can heal, how we can grow and learn from all these tragedies. So if you have something to say about this this school a shooting that happened, please, now is the time to call in and let's have a very healthy discussion, a very productive discussion on how we can move forward. 833-288-3986. A lot of people have a lot of things to say about this. They have a lot of things to say about the shooter. They have a lot of things to say about the situation. They have a lot of things to say about the country and where we're headed. But let's really try to kind of boil it down and see if we can walk away with a better understanding of how we are to maybe ramp up our prayer life, you know, do certain things in our communities to prevent this from happening again, Jerry.
Please do join us if you have any sentiments you would like to share. I know many, many broken hearts, not just in the West, in the Uvalde area, but around the world. Of course, we had the Buffalo shootings. We had so many of them lately. And it just seems like it's almost becoming so commonplace that it's, I think, a little bit harder than it once was just to get the emotion welling up because not because it's not horrific, but because you think, oh, no, not again. You know, so do join us in this conversation, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. If you're a mother of kids that you send off to school every morning or a dad, you know, maybe you've had thoughts in the back of your mind, you're concerned, you make sure you get that hug and kiss goodbye and tell them you love them before you send them off on the school bus or drop them off at school or whatever. So if you're in that demographic and you've got kids in school, maybe this has hit really close to home to you and you would like to share a little bit about how you've been impacted by it. 833-288-3986.
What's really tragic about the situation that happened in Uvalde is like I said, it's a very small town, 16,000. So people know each other. Families grew up together. They know one another. They know their neighbors. And this is, you know, you look at the long-term effects of this because of the post-traumatic stress and, you know, everything. They said that fear memories is they're the most powerful. So these kids are all traumatized. And, you know, it's also the town where a lot of our migrants are coming through. Okay. So the immigration is coming through that town as well. So they've got that happening, which can be very disruptive to their general practices in their community. And now they have this school rampage that happened that killed 19 fourth graders and 19 children and two adults. Very, very sad. I mean, it couldn't have come at a worse time. I mean, it's never a good time to have any type of school shootings. But I mean, this is just, it's like sometimes, you know, the old saying, when it rains, it pours, you know, and I just really believe that we need to surround the whole entire town. We need to ask the angels that are in charge of that area of Texas. And yes, angels are in charge of different cities, different states, different countries. Okay, we need to ask those angels to please protect the fine people of Uvalde, because I just don't know how they're going to recover from this. This is almost too much to bear, especially since we're still in a pandemic. Okay, we have rising gas prices, inflation. I mean, you name it. We've got all these things coming at us, and then this happens, and it's just so incredibly sad. So let's talk about it and see. Maybe we can come up with some, you know, interesting ideas or direction of how we are to proceed forward. The number to dial to be on the show, you don't have to be Catholic to call in. Please dial in 833-288-3986. And by the way, yes, we put everybody in the prayer book. So the whole town of Uvalde is in the prayer book.
Yeah, and it's, as I mentioned earlier, every day, Debbie and I come up with a topic of discussion for the program, sometimes suggested by you, the Take Two family, which we love. And it is very, very rare when we bump a topic, move it down to a later date in order to do something that has happened of this scope, of this magnitude. So we felt it was important enough to talk about this. Again, we can look at, Debbie mentioned, and maybe after the break, we can look at some of the traits in the shooter. Details are coming out now about his life and his broken family and some of the things that he did. Self-harm, he did some self-harm.
He hurt other kids.
And he was bullied tremendously throughout his school years. So, I mean, this is just like a big stew. You know, you put all this stuff together and stir it up a little bit, put it on the stove, and it's going to boil over at some point. And we want to avoid that if we can. So let's just have a prayerful, sensible conversation about this today at 833-288-3986.
And I know nobody probably wants to do this, but that boy that was killed, who killed all of those 19 children and the two adults, and he was shot and killed, he's got all those souls on his soul, okay? So that boy, you know, we've got to pray for his eternal soul. This is not good all the way around. So let's talk about it. 833-288-3986. This is your show, Take Two, with Jerry and Debbie and you. So please call us.
Thank you for being with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Jeff Burson is producing today. He is on the controls. We have Matt Gabensky on the phones, and our number is 833-288-3986, as we collectively try to make at least a little bit of sense of some of the shootings that have been going on lately. The springboard for this was the Uvalde, Texas shootings yesterday. 19 kids dead, two adults dead, the shooter dead. So what can we make of this? You know, it's just senseless, but somehow there are reasons, there are things underlying all of this as to why these happen. So that's what we're trying to get to as best we can. Before we go right to your calls, I want to tell you about a product from EWTN. Speaking of very important issues, the unborn, we need to pray for the unborn every day. And they have a laminated holy card. It's a prayer for the unborn. EWTN Religious Catalog has various lovely holy cards in a perfect size for any pocket, purse, wallet, or backpack. Images and prayers include Our Lady of Guadalupe with a prayer for the unborn, Christ carrying his cross with a prayer to the wound in the shoulder, the Shroud of Turin, and many, many more. Select a variety of your favorites for a discount when ordering in bulk. Visit EWTN.com to view more than 100 beautiful cards available now at EWTNRC.com, where you get free standard shipping for online orders $75 or more in the continental United States. Just use code FREE when you check out.
So our Take Two family, they know that we like to pronounce things correctly. So Stacy called in and said, you want to pronounce the town in Texas, Uvalde, it's Stacy. We got it. Uvalde. Thank you so very, very much. Uvalde, Texas. Beautiful. It's a, you know, I just think of, You know, I remember when I moved to where I live in Gilbert, Arizona, and there was like, you know, 20,000 people, and it was so cool. You know, we knew everybody. And then it got up to 250,000. But I think of Uvalde and how they just all must know one another. They must go to the local grocery store. They must say hi to each other on first name basis, and it's so beautiful. So, you know, this is really when it hits a small town like that, that's going to be tough to recover. We do have a couple open phone lines. Please join us if you'd like to talk about this Texas school rampage that happened and how it killed our 19 of beautiful children and two adults. Please call us, 833-288-3986.
Okay, Ron has been waiting. He's up first, a first-time caller in Monroe, Michigan, listening on Annunciation Radio. Hi, Ron. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for listening. My theory is, with all these shootings, there's no security in these schools. What are the people in charge of the schools? Are they sleeping or what? I mean, they have to take responsibility for these kids, and a guy can walk in there with two guns and shoot everybody. It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard today, Ron, on one of the news shows that they were saying that the reason why they don't have armed guards at a lot of these schools, especially elementary schools, is because having armed professionals at the doors and stuff can trigger the children. They don't know how to process it. So there's a whole thing happening there with having armed guards. And so I will tell you that when I raised two boys, we raised two boys, and in our schools, we had an incredible security system with the doors themselves. Like, you could not get in unless you buzzed, and then they called the front office, and the office had to come open the door, but there was all sorts of, they had to make sure there wasn't any fire issues, like if fire, you know, the fire or the police had to get in. So you have to have kind of a more of a you know, advanced kind of system in place. And I don't know if in Uvalde they had that. So I did hear that this morning, that I didn't realize that a lot of kids are triggered by armed guards.
Well, okay, let's go back to how come the place isn't locked down and let, they could do that. That's not that complicated, is it?
No.
Lock the doors up.
Absolutely. That was my first thought that came to mind, Ron. There was that real not easy to see video from a distance, maybe a camera up on top of a building looking down, and they reportedly saw the shooter at that point entering into a door. And my first thought was, I was with you. To me, it would seem that, you know, you have to have numerous exits in case of an emergency, of course. But as far as just, you know, day-to-day activity and routine things, I would hope that there would be, like Debbie was saying, you know, you've got to go up, you've got to ring, you got to buzz. They say, who is it? You step inside. Maybe there's another door you got to get through after you show ID to somebody. You know, I don't know the answer to that either, Ron. But it seems like something akin to that would perhaps be of help. I'm no expert on, you know, security in these types of situations, but I'm with you on that.
Why, we got these principals and we got administration people up the wall they don't need in a school, yet they can't get anything done right. I mean, maybe they need to get new people in there to think different. I mean, this could happen again today yet. And they're still sleeping on the job, let's face it.
Yeah. Well, you're right. And, you know, an event like this happening in Uvalde, Texas is might as well be an event that happened in Michigan or Montana or Utah or California or Nebraska, because it's going to impact school kids everywhere. They cannot help but get the news. They're going to get all of the news. They'll be saturated with it. And then, of course, Debbie, I would presume that schools everywhere are going to be starting to have drills and, mm-hmm. you know, come together and have teachings and, you know, conferences about how to be safe and implement all kinds of new things. So this really is going to have a national, if not global, impact, these shootings will.
Right. Absolutely. Ron, well, thank you. Go ahead, Ron. Go ahead.
They just had this shooting in New York or somewhere in this neighborhood grocery store.
Yeah, in Buffalo, yeah.
Somebody's got to wake up and figure out to do something different. They just aren't with it, I mean.
Well, I'll share something with you, Ron. I'm very concerned with a lot of parishes that aren't taking the precautions that they need to do with surveillance and even maybe having the Knights of Columbus, you know, be the greeters and be watching the doors, or even having off-duty police officers. I know that at a parish that I worked for, the pastor was great about it. He was a military kid growing up, so he had that military mindset, and he had off-duty police officers at all the masses. And I thought that was really smart, because, you know, I was thinking about it. Think about it. You're at mass. You know, you're facing the altar. You know, the doors are behind you. So, you know, if somebody comes in, you're not turning around looking for them. I mean, this is really, I mean, we've got a lot of venues that need to be covered properly. So I agree with you, Ron. I mean, you know, in this day and age of technology and everything, we should really ramp this up to make sure we're much more secure when we go into these large venues. What do you think?
Well, I think so. I don't want to be on here all day, but who's ever in charge needs to wake up.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Well, that's a great way to end your great comments on, Ron. Thank you so much for joining us. And we all have to wake up, be awake at the wheel here, so to speak. And there's many, many layers. I hope we get a chance to talk, Debbie, about some of these many layers of problems, I think, that go into forming a young mind and heart to the point where a young woman, perhaps it's usually males, you know, do these kinds of things, because they don't just wake up one day and just say, hey, you know what? The sun is out. The sky is blue. I'm going to go gun down some people at a school. You know, it doesn't happen right like that. It's building and brewing for a long, long time. Ron, mm-hmm. Thank you for being on the show. We appreciate it very much.
Okay, take care.
Okay.
Thank you, Ron. Well, let's also discuss it. Let's open this up, too. It also has to do with brain health issues. Okay. I mean, we've got a lot of people. You've got, you know, shooters in the New York City subway. You've got, you know, shooters in grocery stores and in schools and at churches and all sorts of things. Okay. The person is obviously troubled. The person obviously has issues. What's going on with the people around them? Are they monitoring this person? Are the doctors doing the right things with these people? Or do we have the proper programs and places for these people to go to get help? I mean, certainly, you know, just throwing more drugs at them is not the answer. We're not really dealing with brain health issues well, I think.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. 833-288-3986. A little heavier topic today than maybe we often have on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. But that's because this show is about real life. And unfortunately, tragically, horrifically, real life sometimes includes what happened in Uvalde, Texas yesterday, and in Buffalo, New York, and the New York subway, and of course, unreported shootings all over the country each and every day, and mostly on the weekends. So please join us with your thoughts on this, will you? 833-288-3986. Okay, we're going to go to Texas. Marisa is listening to us on Sirius XM 130. Hello, Marisa. Welcome.
Good morning, Jerry and Debbie. Yes, this is hitting a little close, well, very close to my family. I have a cousin, her husband, and two kids lived in Uvalde for many years, and my cousin actually worked at that school and was friends with those that passed away. On another note, you know, you were all talking about mental health and then the fact that he was bullied. I don't know, there's something that just made my mind turn to maybe perhaps he was bullied from elementary age, and maybe in his mind he felt that he was keeping these children from going through what he went through. You know, I'm just trying to look at it from a different angle. Just something that crossed my mind. I just thought I'd share it.
Well, you know, everybody, it's interesting that you're bringing this up, because everybody's making assessments now on what happened to this 18-year-old. You know, he was living with his grandmother. He had a broken relationship with his mother. He had a lisp, and he had a stutter growing up, and kids used to bully him. He was a loner. Mm-hmm. He used to self you know, harm himself, like cut his face and do things like that. So what, why was he doing that? He would shoot other kids with BB guns. Okay, this is all I'm going to say. I'm not an expert on this, Marisa or Jerry, but Jerry, you were a boy at one time. You have brothers. Okay, I raised two boys. I grew up with a lot of boys in my family. I had two brothers and then, of course, my whole family. But I'm just going to say this. I think sometimes we ignore the red flags, especially with young boys. Girls are much more expressive sometimes, and they will express their feelings, and they'll kind of shout it out to the world and get the world to listen to them. Boys don't. They tend to try and internalize it. They tend to just stuff it because boys are supposed to be like little men, right? And so I really think it was, I think there were, in my personal opinion, I'm not judging anybody or making any type of criticism of this family, but there clearly was problems with this kid. And he wasn't on track to graduate, okay? So he was probably humiliated about that, okay? And what, so where, why do boys turn to violence? Well, just look at the TV set. Just look at the video games. Just look at the world. The world turns to violence. Okay? So that's, and that's why it just bothers me greatly that we're not spending enough quality time with these young minds and really helping them to understand that they have a purpose in life, their God-given purpose, their reason for living, and help them through some of the problems and to express it and put it out on the table. But instead, what do? We throw them, you know, we give them, you know, hormone treatments and all sorts of things, and we help them transition and we help them find their identity. That's not the answer. We got to get back to the root of things. I really do. It really bothers me, and it's mainly because I'm the mother of boys. So what do you think, Marisa and Jerry?
Well, yeah. Well, if I may say real quick, this also, I mean, all these games that these boys and girls play, they all have age restrictions. And yet you have these little elementary kids being allowed by their parents to play N17 games. I mean, what is that doing to their mind?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know?
Well,
horrible.
Yeah. And I got in trouble on Twitter one time for saying what I'm about to say, but I think the violent video games, I'm talking about violent video games here, are extremely destructive. And there were some younger people who play video games that really jumped all over me about that. But when you think about it, you know, these video games, there's no penalty for shooting as many people as you possibly can. In fact, you're rewarded for shooting as many people as you possibly can. And I'm not sitting here saying playing violent video games is itself the only problem here. Debbie mentioned brain health issues. There was the bullying. There's all the crazy stuff that kids are being taught today. The relativism in schools. A lot of kids' moral compass just is not being pointed in the right direction. And so that's what I was saying earlier. You got to peel back a lot of layers here. And unfortunately, and we pray for his soul, but the shooter is now before the Lord at his judgment, and so we'll never, Debbie, never have a chance to get really inside his mind or heart and as to why he did these things.
That's right. Marisa, thank you so much for weighing in on this. We appreciate it. God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your day. Thank you. We do have social media coming in. A lot of people have a lot of different thoughts on this, different angles. Everybody's got their own opinion of what's going on because based on their lived experiences, and we understand that. So that's why we want to have this discussion. If you'd like to join us, we do have an open phone line. Now we have two open phone lines because Marisa just opened up that line for you at 833-288-3986.
Okay, we're going to get to more of your calls momentarily here. On social media, on YouTube, Michael M. says, secure the schools like we do with courthouses and airports. Interesting comment there. And we've got many more, as Debbie said, from social media, both Facebook and YouTube. Please comment there if you'd like, but do join us today.
We're talking about the Uvalde school shooting that happened, and we wanted to have a discussion about what we can take away from this really horrific situation, but also what we can do going forward, okay? And which is important for us as Catholic Christians. We must maintain joy and peace. We must. If we lose that, the demons have won, folks. That's why, even though this is so tragic, so sad, it's brutal to take to our hearts. But we must maintain joy and peace. That is what we're called to do as Christians. So Luke is driving through Kansas, and Luke is on Covenant Radio. Hi, Luke. Welcome.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Luke.
Hey, first thing I guess I have to say is my heart goes out to the families. This is an awful thing, and it seems like we talk about this way too often.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
But I think that we need to open our eyes. We need to understand as a country, as a culture, that, you know, we are never going to weed these people out by looking at their behavior, trying to dissect how they tick. Because even though we've got the weird ones and the ones that look obvious to us, just like you were talking about earlier, there are the ones that come out of the woodwork from nowhere. And the question is, why do they do this? And I personally have a feeling, I mean, I have an idea why. And it's because, number one, they're entitled. They have this feeling of entitlement, like their voice needs to be listened to by everybody. And when they get in a fight with grandma or whoever, and she disses them, well, they're going to go out and make people listen to them. And they do this by one of the most feared things that we have in this country, and that's guns. They're going to go out and do some harm to people and make people listen. Well, that feeling of entitlement is one. Also, the whole bullying thing. You know, we've got people that bully in a number of ways. We're bullied every day by a number of things. We're bullied by the government. We're bullied by neighbors. We're bullied by whatever. And, you know, it's time that we put an end to this the best that we can. God says,
you there, Luke?
Well, I'm not even going to get into what God says, but I think the bottom line is this. We need to have more gun zones. Fewer gun-free zones. You know, bullies don't go places where they're going to get taken out. They go to places where they can bully. They go to churches. They go to schools. They go to grocery stores. They go to subway areas, places where they know there are going to be no guns, and they're just going to have a free day shooting people. Mm-hmm. We need to spend more money and more time equipping people that are in charge of our churches and our schools, equip those people with the knowledge and the skills to operate guns and take these people out. And they will not show up. These people with the guns, these bullies will not show up. If they do, they won't be there long.
Well, and Luke, you're making some interesting points here, and I don't know that I or Debbie would argue with all the things that you have said. I happen to not be a gun owner. I'm not opposed to it at all. I think most of my brothers and so many people I know have not just one but many, and they use them in proper, healthy, legal ways. They were acquired legally. They get trained. They know what they're doing. So, yes, absolutely. Whoever is going to be in charge of, say, security, you know, I'm thinking of, like, the thought that comes to my mind, and Debbie, we've talked about this before, is like air marshals on planes. You know, they get on most likely every flight. They look like you, they look like me, they look like Luke. You can't tell them apart from anybody else, but they probably have a weapon concealed just in case something crazy goes on, and a lot of crazy things are going on airplanes nowadays. But you touched upon, Luke, so many things. You said the word culture. And I just want to make a couple comments on that and pass it over to Debbie. Our culture right now, it is a relativist culture.
Yes.
Kids are being taught in schools. There is no right or wrong. Kids are being taught in schools at the youngest age. You can determine, you can decide what gender you are. You can go back and forth if you want. There are multiple different genders now, just not just male or female. The transgender movement and so forth. All of these things, our kids are under attack. And it's from a spiritual, it's being done on the temporal, the world level, but it's coming from Satan. Satan, we're in Satan's hour right now, and he has attacked marriage, he's attacked the family, he's attacked the unborn, and now he's attacking our little kids. And I think, Debbie, spiritually, on our knees is the first place we have to fight this battle.
Absolutely. And Luke, and I just wanted to add to that, you know, when you have states they're separating minor children from their parents in their normal, well child visits that you go to your pediatrician. Okay. When you have pediatricians separating the children from their parents saying, I need to talk to your 8-year-old by themselves and you need to wait in the waiting room. Okay. And that's happening in different states around the country. That is absurd. It's crazy. I personally think it's criminal.
Criminal.
Okay. The parents are the primary catechists and they are the primary teachers and they are the primary people to handle the minor child. They are responsible for that child so that they can get that child to be fully productive and independent and well taken care of until they're off on their own. For that to be happening at a young age, what are we doing? Well, we're separating parents. We're pulling parents away. So now parents are now going to be in fear of their children. Parents are in fear of things. This is not right. And it's all, in my opinion, my humble opinion, this is coming from a diabolical source. Okay, this is not right. Parents need to be in charge of their children. Thank goodness my kids are raised and I'm a grandmother, because if that was happening to me right now, I would be all over the newspapers and all over media screaming at the top of my lungs that there's no way you're going to pull my minor child away from me and talk to them privately without me knowing what's happening. What do you think, Luke?
And I work in emergency rooms around the country. I've been traveling a lot since this whole COVID thing. And, we provide help for people that can't help themselves. More and more over the years, we see in ERs and everywhere, we see people that of course, they don't have the means to take care of themselves. But they lose that incentive to take care of themselves when there's somebody else there to take care of them. And I think we see the same thing in schools. As long as schools are willing to take on the responsibility of taking care of your kids, I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of people out there that don't have the means to take care of their kids. There's a lot of people that don't want to take care of their kids. Kids pass that on to their kids, and it becomes a cycle that becomes really hard to break. Mm-hmm. And the further we get into the cycle, this is where we are. This is where we are today. We become dependent on, I'm talking about as a culture, not individually, but we Right. become dependent on an outside source to do our thinking and our money making and our work for us. And that right now, in large part, is our government. Our government, Yeah. and our government wants that role. They want to put everybody under that umbrella. And we need to take it back. We need to understand what's going on and do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not wait for the government to do something about it. We need to do something about it. Let's put people in those schools. They're going to take those guys out when they come through the door. When they knock at an outside door to come in, and you see that they've got a gun, you don't just lock the door. You send people around the side, and you shoot the guy. Let's ask questions later.
Right. Well, Luke, thank you again for your participation and great contribution to the program today. We appreciate that so much. And we do hope that we will hear from you again. And thank you for the awesome work that you do in emergency rooms around the mm-hmm. country. God bless you for that. 833-288-3986, talking about Yeah, the recent mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas. Of course, we had the Buffalo incident. We've had the New York subway shooting. We've had so many. It's almost it's almost become part of the air that we breathe now, so tragically. And we're talking about that today. Go ahead.
Well, and there's people that are snapping all around the country and shooting their spouses and their kids and stuff, and we don't even hear about those stories.
Right.
So, I mean, we've got, you know, things are breaking, and they're breaking very quickly, and that's why we're having these conversations.
Okay, Eric is in Atlanta, Georgia, listening on The Quest. Hello, Eric. Welcome to Take Two and with Jerry and Debbie and you.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon.
Thank you.
I'm sensitive to the sociological, you know, the search for answers in the sociological, in psychological, in cultural. But the magnitude and frequency of these incidents, you know, and the age as a father, you know, the age of these children, my heart truly goes out to the families. There seems to be still a surplus of inexplicability that I wonder, you know, I'm certain it's only accountable to the diabolic. But I wonder if a study's not been done on any of these perpetrators' involvement explicitly in the occult. Or their involvement in things more overt. I mean, video games have been around for a long time. All of these things, greater security is great. But, I mean, just the magnitude of these things seems to be so ratcheting up. I mean, and our tolerance of the violence seems to be ratcheting up as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, years ago, the infamous St. Valentine's Day massacre, and how well chosen the word was at the time and in the day, massacre. And we just presume today massacre. We don't even hazard a guess at the number of persons actually killed. But it was seven. It was seven gangsters who were killed. Mm-hmm. And that, for the day, was this, you know, the massacre that just shook the country and changed into, you know, cracking down on organized crime. Al Capone was subsequently arrested. But these incidents, we seem have become almost immune to. No seismic change, no cultural seismic change has come, nor do I expect one to come. And we almost are at a point of asking, you know, what will it take? And I can only ascribe that sort of tolerance of evil and the magnitude of evil perpetrated to the diabolic. Mm-hmm. And there's got to be some sort of footprint of explicit connection.
I would agree with you, Eric. So many things going on right now point directly to the diabolic. You know, Debbie mentioned, you know, it's diabolical what's happening. I said it was, you know, it was attributable to Satan in many ways. A lot of people, when they hear that, they're going to just shrug it off and say, oh, come on. You know, but the Bible is full of references to Satan. He's the father of lies. He's the father of death. And what do we see? We live in an absolute culture of death right now. And there are statistics. I just did an internet search real quickly. I did children and the occult. Time won't permit me to read any of them in depth right now. But we're awash in internet results that talk about children and the occult, and the percentage of them that get into the Ouija board and are reading horoscopes, and as innocent as those things seem to be, and in relative to some other things, they are. They're still dangerous, and they can open doors to other things. And you see so many young people, Debbie, today walking around, you know, with just all black on, you know. I mean, yeah. their top, their bottom, their fingernails are black, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's an indication necessarily of something, but, you know, if you go back to our favorite movie, What About Bob? You know, he says to his son, Siggy, what is this death fixation you have? Because he wore nothing but black, you know.
And, right. Right. And I, Eric, as you were speaking, I just wanted to say, you know, we're in a culture where everything is accepted and it's become normalized and just, oh, it's no big deal. You know, I understand that a big entertainment part of weddings, wedding receptions now is tarot card reading and horoscopes and mediums. They bring them in for the entertainment and everybody, and think about it. Just think about it for a second. Okay. See, this doesn't shock me at all because I do a lot of work work on angels. And then of course, when you study angels, you also study the demons. Okay. And so, you know, it doesn't shock me at all. So you're bringing this entertainment into your wedding celebration. Now, who goes to weddings? Most of the times it's couples, right? Most of the time it's other married couples that celebrate another couple that's getting married, most of the time, okay? And so here you have this form of entertainment, which is definitely can be a doorway into the demons, right? The demons can feel very at home coming through that kind of, benign entertainment is what everybody thinks it is. And yet it's at a wedding celebration. It's so overt now, Eric. It's so obvious to me. This is not a shock at all. When you remove God and you replace God with something else or someone else, like the demons, we have mass chaos. We have confusion. We have problems. We have death. You know, when the media is giving attention to these pro-choicers who are out there celebrating, and I'm talking celebrating their abortions, and they're saying hail Satan and all sorts of things. I mean, come on, it's right in our faces. But what are we doing about it? Instead, we're being crucified as Christians because everybody is persecuting us, saying, "What's the matter with you? You know what? You know you're so behind the times. You're so in the dark. You know you're so backwards." No, we're not. Okay, we are living what Christ handed down. We're trying to. Okay, we need to bring Christianity back to the forefront, front and center. In a wholesome, healthy, united way, Christians need to come together. That's my opinion. Eric, you hit a strong, my blood pressure went sky high as you were speaking. So please forgive me, but what do you think?
As you're speaking, I agree. I think I'm looking for something that's hiding in plain sight. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. We don't need to probe into the backgrounds of perpetrators. I think it's the air we breathe.
Yep.
As you say, you know, going to weddings with tarot card readings, Ouija boards are not, they're not innocent. Achievement of the evil one to that we believe that these things are innocent, that they are games. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And it's an achievement of this century, last century, that we're convinced that these...
Yeah, I don't know if we lost you there, Eric, but we want to thank you for your call and your participation.
Yes, very good call.
Yeah, you brought up really, like you said, something's hiding in plain sight, and I beg God to give us all the spiritual eyes to see what we're up against. We need to have, as you have said, Debbie, a life of peace and joy. No question about that. God wants mm-hmm. us to have life and have it to abundance. But that does not mean we are to be naive, you know, and not realize the evil that is around us. And it is packing us in. It's almost like the walls are closing in on us, the walls of evil, you know. So we have to be attentive to that and be prayerful, not afraid of it, but we have to just be honest about what's going on.
Right. We can't be, Christians need to stop being on the defensive. Okay. We need to be on the offensive. We know the end of the story. We know where we're headed. We need to hold our heads up high. We need to stand tall. We need to live out our Christian faith. To me, it's that simple. It's the Mother Teresa way. Okay. Catholic Answers Live, real quickly, folks. I wanted to share with you a very important show. Monday through Friday night, 6 Eastern time on EWTN Radio. Best of Catholic Answers Live is on Sunday night, 6 Eastern time on EWTN Radio. Cy Kellett, dear friend of ours, Cy Kellett takes your calls and talks with some of the leading apologists and theologians in the church today. EWTN is the exclusive radio home for Catholic Answers Live. Great show.
Amen. All right, 833-288-3986. Looking at mass shootings. Some of them happened very recently. And we've got a lot of you on the line right now. And what we're going to do is those we don't get to, we're going to do a show, a second part of this for you tomorrow. So please hang on right now so we'll get to as many of you as we can. But Matt Gubinsky will put you at the front of the line tomorrow if we do not get to you. We're going to continue along with Emma, who is in Houston, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Emma.
Hi. This comes very close to me because I'm a teacher. And, you know, we're talking about security and where's what are the principals doing, admin doing. They can barely, pay us a decent wage. They can barely pay us a decent wage, and we're expected to be counselor, mother. We're expected to be security guard. We're expected to be nurse, along with teaching academics.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's we're working with a very limited staff, limited. And these kids with this, oh my gosh, since COVID, the kids need more and more attention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need more counselors, more psychiatrists in the schools. In the schools. Because that there is a need. I've gone as far as taking some holy water into my class and, you know, sprinkling it around each corner. And, you know, of course I do it before school, before after school, but it's gotten to that point. Mm-hmm. There's so many teachers leaving the profession because of this.
Yeah.
Because of it.
Emma, I just want to say we love our teachers. We love what you do to shape young minds is very, very important. It's a big job. And I agree with you. I live on a street in Arizona, in my town in Gilbert, Arizona. And I have three teachers on the street and they look exhausted. They look so wiped out. I have never seen, they're so tired. In fact, one of them across the street, my beautiful neighbor, when she walks to the mailbox, we have a central mailbox. When she walks to the mailbox, she looks like she's going to drop. She literally, it almost looks like someone needs to carry her. That's how tired she is. This is not right. You need to be doing what you do best, and that is educating young minds. You really should not be the security guards and the nurses and the psychologists and everything. That's not right. And honestly, I think it goes back to we as parents and grandparents, we need to step in there and offer our services and volunteer and help out. You know, they used to say the old saying, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, you know what? It really does now. It takes a whole entire, county to raise children. We need everybody to step up who has, a sane understanding of how to raise children, who have raised children themselves, to get in there and really help. That's what I think. I think it's very unfortunate that the teachers have been put out there to wear many, many hats that they were not trained to do, nor do they have the energy to do it. Jerry?
Well, we always say, Emma, what Debbie said, we love our teachers. We think so very, very much of you, so thank you for doing that. And you mentioned the wage. You know, it's probably not really truly a livable wage, you know, unless maybe somebody is married to a spouse who has, you know, also a decent or average income. But we know that you do it from your heart. Because you love the kids.
It's a ministry.
And it's a ministry in a sense. I love the way you said you spread holy water around. Let's be honest. We all have to be honest with ourselves. God bless you for spreading the holy water around, Emma. But more needs to be done than that. And that is returning God to our schools at whatever cost. I can't possibly fathom that ever happening in my lifetime. But God has been totally kicked out, and mm-hmm. that leaves a vacuum. Yeah. And wherever there's a vacuum, guess who's coming to dinner, as they say. Yeah. And we see a lot of that right now. Emma, we'll give you another quick word.
Well, just I want to keep everybody involved in prayer. And unfortunately, these things happen, and I'm tired of saying, keep them in your prayers, because we keep saying that.
Mm-hmm.
We keep saying that.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. You're right, Emma. We do. We're all weary. I think we're all weary from just the events of life in general. If life was going swimmingly, you still get tired and you still get weary. But you throw in a pandemic, you throw in things like this that really touch all of our hearts. Debbie, you said your kids are grown. You have grandkids, so you're not raising them now. I never had kids. So what? It touches Debbie's heart and my heart. I was crying as I was watching this on TV last night.
Me too.
And, you know, I don't know. We don't know ultimately what the answers are, Debbie, but I hope and pray that today's show, we have kind of taken a real truth, you know, truthful, authentic look at it, and we'll continue it tomorrow.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Emma. Paula and Laura and Karen and the others, please call back tomorrow because Matt Gubinsky is going to happily put you at the front of the line. You deserve it. You've been waiting almost the entire show. We'll continue this discussion. We think it's very healthy. We need to have these kinds of platforms so we can come together as Christians and figure out a way forward. That's what we'll be doing tomorrow, part two, Jerry.
Yep. Our producer, Ace McKay, is off today. We have Jeff Burson doing social media and producing the show, running the board. Matt Gubinsky, the greatest call screener on the face of the earth, is taking your calls, as he will again tomorrow. And we thank you, affiliates, for carrying the show. For Debbie Giorgiani, I'm Jerry Usher. Have a beautiful and blessed day. And St. Joseph, please, please pray for us.